is come to share with us again. Many of you know John from our church. Some of you know John. He's been around a while, in a good way, serving the church across Oldham for a long time now. So it's really great that John's able to come and share. Can we pray for him? And I'll hand over to his invitation. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that John has been able to join us this morning. Lord, we thank you. He's a friend. He's a friend of this church. He's a friend of mine. And Lord, he's a friend of yours. He's a friend of God. Lord, I pray again that you just fill him with your Holy Spirit. That you speak through him today. Lord, may we have ears and hearts, minds ready to receive again your word to us through your servant John. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Well, it's good to be here. It's good to be with you. I was really looking forward to worshipping with you, not preaching at you. I was really looking forward to just being with you and being in the atmosphere of worship that there is in this place. And I loved it when the little girl at the front here, now she's gone, I can highlight it. You don't highlight things always with little children. While you lot were chatting and the buzz that was in this place when I came in, the worship band started up with "You're a Good, Good Father." And she went, "Oh, we're singing." She just went, "Oh, we're singing." And she started and she stood here and she just went like this. She didn't sing, she just was lost in the spirit. That'll do for me. That I carry pictures like that. I make a note of them and I carry them. I use them sometimes. And then some little one over the back there was singing or chatting away. Whatever they were doing, they're like the birds in the morning waking up creation. That, who was it? Little girl here. She was chatting away, or he, singing. I hear things like that. And so does our Heavenly Father. He sees these things. You know, that's not to say you shouldn't buzz and chat and enjoy being in each other's company. It's great that you do. But I just loved it how she was lost. And then somebody started clapping over here. I think it was David. You need to stop that, David. It's far too. It's far too, you know. Yeah, you know, you can't have that joy in church. Oh, sorry, there's a joy thing up there. And she just went, "Yeah, we can clap." She joined in clapping. And there's an atmosphere, a godly atmosphere, where people come in and they're lost in their atmosphere and they're hit by the atmosphere of God in a place. They're hit by the Holy Spirit in you who breaks out through you. Yeah? We sing a song, I think it's, I can't remember it, forget it. But we sing a song, and it's, "I open up my heart and let you in." That's it, yeah? "Come away with me." It's a Jesus culture one, it's a great song. And thank you for what you've done this morning, leading us in worship. It's "Come away with me, come away with me." It's going to be great, it's going to be wild, it's going to be full of me. "Open up your hearts and let me in." And we were singing, "I open up my heart and let you in." And then one week I just said, "Can we sing this? I open up my heart and let you out." Not just "I open up my heart and let you in," but "I open up my heart and let you out." And I love to hear about the prayer thing where you go and you just gently, kindly, not blasting people, hitting them, but actually being there, a gentle presence of God. "For he is, learn of me, for I am gentle and kind and humble of heart." And I love the way you did that. I love to hear the way that you did that. I don't mean it's wrong to shout on the street corners, to do the Hyde Park thing. I'm not saying that's wrong, but I love what you expressed. That you just stand there, you come alongside people, you come alongside gently your community, because they have fixed views about what you're like. And we shouldn't reinforce those views. And I think if they come to us, they see in us an, a presence not just once, but you're going back. And you prayed that there would be testimony of, you know, you said you'd pray for that. Can I just tell you, this happened, that happened. And then we rejoice and we give glory to God and we give thanks to God. I was in the church last week, I think, with a Dutch friend of mine who'd come to stay in our home. I took him to a church in Rochdale that's a new church. It's called Nelson Street, and it's like Holy Trinity Brompton, where the Alpha Course comes from. It's a plant. They looked at where they felt there were hardly any Christians worshipping who were of the age 18 to 35, and they found Rochdale had none. So they planted a £1 million church in Rochdale. And I went to that church last week, and there were three blokes stood up at the end to give, they don't do many appeals, but there are three guys, I'm trying to be those guys, but I couldn't. They're builders. One's a demolition expert, one's a builder. I didn't meet the other one, but I met the two. One had a gun tattooed on his leg in his shorts, and they walked about like that. They had the biggest beaming smile because they stood up to receive Jesus last week. And there was an atmosphere of worship. There was an absolutely beautiful atmosphere of worship. They sang and I was wasted in the middle of one of the songs that they were singing. I liked how you drifted off and it was like a flow of the river in your songs. It wasn't just, we'll sing a song, right, stop, sing another one, stop. You flowed. And I like to feel you flowed in the spirit. It was lovely. And you took us with us on this boat ride down the river. And it was nice. But, again, I don't know why I said that, but I do drift. And they just sang this song, "When I stand before you, Jesus, will I..." What is it? I can only imagine. Come on, help me. Will I stand before you, Jesus, or will I kneel at your feet? Will I sing hallelujah? And there's another line to that. And it just, in the middle of the worship, just blew me away. I can only imagine what it'll be like when I meet him face to face. Will I stand before you, Jesus? Will I kneel at your feet? Will I sing hallelujah or not be able to speak at all? That's the line. I think it's the latter. We will stand amazed who he is. Well, we get a chance to do that now. Because by his spirit, we can see him. By his spirit, we can know him. By his spirit, we can feel him. By his spirit, we can sense him close. Like the guys on the Emmaus Road sensed him. We thought there was something. Didn't our hearts burn within us as we walked along? Do you remember that story? The Emmaus Road, and the two guys walking along. Had to be guys, didn't it? Because Jesus talked to them for about 2 hours as they're walking along, and they didn't understand the word he was on about. And they knew him, they'd met him. They didn't know who he was. They actually recognized him in the breaking of bread. They invited him into their home. When he broke bread, it's the Lord. And so when we come and we break bread, when we come and we get baptized, hands up, please. Hands up those baptized next week. All of you. Oh, you've a lot dunked. I don't mean who's baptized, who's getting dunked next week. Five people. You suddenly turned into 35 there. Bless you. Bless you, guys. Thank you. Yeah, when you do that as a public proclamation, it's great. It'll make a massive difference to your lives, to your own lives, because you die and then you're raised again. That's the symbol of with him, so that you're in Christ and Christ is in you, the hope of glory, the mystery. It's a mystery. Anyway, I'm not preaching on this, so that's... I don't know whether I need to preach, but I do. Can we have Hebrews 12, verses 1 to 2? That may be the only scripture we do. First sermon I ever preached was based on this, and it was this. So I know it off by heart, because I was 16 years old. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders, the sin which so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. That's good, just there. No, just looking unto Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. And it's about getting rid of the stuff that weighs us down. It's about offloading, jettisoning the stuff that's a burden, the stuff that's a mess and messes us up. Getting rid of the burdens. And I have this rope. Have I used this rope before in a service? I doubt it. Have I used the idea of this rope before? It's the rope of burden carrying. Yeah, have I not used it here? Right, okay. Boosh. So, the thing is, you walk around in life, and I'm not allowed to walk around because I'm stuck with this camera here. I like wandering. No, I'm not one. But you wander around with this rope tied, and you've got all sorts of things entrailing behind you, entrails, stuff, burdens that you're carrying. Yeah? There's a beautiful song by Amy Grant. It says, lay down your burdens, I will carry you. Lay down your burdens. And that verse says that. Let us lay down. Let us cast off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. You see, when you walk, for instance, in unforgiveness, the person you walk you don't forgive, you're dragging them through life. Their face keeps coming up before you. Something they said keeps coming up. You dream about something that they did or said. You won't let them go. Well, there is a song I nearly played this morning. Let it go, let it go. Let it go. By gum, that came out loud, didn't it? I was scared. I'm glad the children are out here. That would have scared her. She'd have gone, ooh. Let it go. And this is some of Jesus' words in Matthew 5 and 6. Let things go. Don't let them hold you. Don't you hold on to them. Anxiety. He said, let it go. So don't carry it around with the anxiety. Worry. Don't carry it around with you. Fear, don't carry it around with you. Anger, don't carry it with you into the night. Get rid of it before you go to sleep, anger. Don't do it. Get rid of it. And that's getting rid of it. What happens when you get rid of all that? What? You're set free. You feel a lot lighter. Now, you're a big guy. Liam, is it? Right, Liam, grab the other end of that. Right, Liam just represents one thing that I'm carrying round as a burden. Go back there, mate, and put a little bit of pressure on it. So it's not easy for me. Go on, pull it. Pull it. Liam, pull it. That's it. This is me with all my burdens. You can let me go a little bit. No, not too much. Just put enough on to make it hard for me. But do let me walk. This is walking with burdens. And it's hard. This is walking with illness that dogs you every day. This is walking through life with unforgiveness and not letting people go. This is walking through life with worry Anxiety. You know the enemy. Right, thank you. I'll do. The enemy wants you to live worrying about the future and guilty about the past. You know where God wants you to live? In his present presence. He wants you to live now, today, this minute, not fretting about what's to come, because it might never come, but it does in your imagination. And in your imagination, if you live worrying about the future, it's likely to happen. It becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy that you're living out. So Jesus says, don't be anxious about tomorrow. Let it go. And this is a thing we have to, in our will, with God's grace, with God's help, work out our salvation. We have to work it out in a day-to-day thing. You are saved. Yeah? You're saved, but you will be saved. It's like working out. You have been saved. You will be saved. You are saved. It's like working it out. Work out your salvation. This is part of it. You know, we're very good at assessing. I told you about this. Somebody prayed in our little in the worship group. When we were in the back there, somebody prayed, oh God, I pray that people won't decide whether they like the song or don't like the song, that they will just enter in. Who prayed that? A bold thing. It was a good thing to pray. You see, we're always assessing how good things are nowadays. We're always judging and working out, is this good, is it bad, is it right, is it wrong? And God wants to cut into all that assessment that we work on. He wants to cut into judgment, where we're always making judgments. It's not a bad thing to work out things. And I'll give the example here. The other week I was in a service and the band were doing the best that they could, but it was cacophonous. It was just a loud noise. And they didn't have good sound coming back to them. So the guitarist couldn't work out what he was doing, so he was playing lots of bum notes, the electric guitarist. And my wife, who was in the band, couldn't hear herself because they hadn't plugged it in right and done the sound right. Absolute, did you? And the guy who was singing, I won't sing how he sang because I'll hurt you again. But he was off on one and sort of people didn't know where they were up to with him because he slowed down and then sped up. The drummer wasn't in time with him. Can I just say, it were a mess. Yeah, it was a mess. Not like this morning. It were a mess. Towards the end of that service, towards the end of the worship, I heard a children's choir. The children were present, but they were at the back messing about, doing stuff with each other, chatting away. I heard a choir. And it wasn't the men up the front. They didn't sound like children. And it wasn't the ladies up the front. When my wife came home, she said, did you hear that choir? I said, yeah, I did. She said, it was a children's choir. I said, yes, it was. It was an angelic choir. We both heard it in the middle of the mess. Doesn't have to be perfect for God. Doesn't have to be how you think it should be. And I think it should be. And the prayer is that we come with a heart wanting to worship, a heart wanting to praise, a heart wanting to clap, a heart wanting to dance before our Heavenly Father. And that's what the Lord looks on. He looks on the heart. I went to another service that was a bit like that. But the worship group were good, but they played worship for an hour and three quarters before I got up to speak, at which time I thought it was time to go home, to be honest. I'd had enough. It didn't really flow. It's like, right, we'll sing this one now. It bore no relation to the previous one. But they were up there with the worship band and you were having it. That's how it was. Let me say that. You go to some strange places. In the middle of all that, a little child found a harmonica. Now she found that, but it was perhaps her mother had bought it for birthday or something, and she found it in her mum's bag. And she just went like this. And I'm getting ready to go up and speak. And she just went, oh, oh, oh. No music to it at all. No skill at all. No ability to play it at all. And I just went to everybody. And don't look. Don't give attention to her. And Holy Spirit fell on the meeting with five notes from a child playing a harmonica with no skill, no ability. And we sat in that place for 3 minutes just listening to the child. Holy Spirit came. There is no formula. Can I say? There isn't a formula. He comes. And sometimes we just have to be still and know that He is God. You know, we don't have to drag Him in. He's like the air that we breathe. He's close. You don't drag air in, you just make room for it, and it comes in. Because it's got 14 pounds worth of pressure pressing on you. Gladly, there's 14 pounds of pressure inside you as well that equalizes it, or else you'd just implode. 14 pounds per square inch of pressure on you. God is like the air we breathe, says St. Paul in Acts 17, when he's speaking to non-Christians. He's very close. He's in you, like the air we breathe. What an awesome God we have. We can't shut Him in a cage. You know, the devil tried to shut Him in a tomb. You remember what happened there, folks? Death could not hold Him. Death could not hold Him. He burst out from death. I'm alive. What an awesome God. I don't need to say anything more, do I? Really? Because it's 12 o'clock. I'll see if there's one more thing. See if I could get one more thing. I could do all that, but don't need it. I think we've done it. I'll just give you one more. I went to a mega church abroad, not here, a mega church. I'd been invited by this lady to go to a mega church. There were 1,000 people there. And would you come and sing some of your songs? I said, I'd love to. I got there and I found that the hierarchy of the church didn't know I was coming. She hadn't passed the message on. So they hadn't made room for me in the service. Watch my toes, you. They aunt made room for me in the service. And she came up to me and she said, I'm sorry, but somehow they didn't know you were coming. And I thought, no, you didn't tell them. And so I wasn't in the prayer meeting beforehand. I wasn't welcomed at the door. Sound check, just, I got about 30 seconds. And I'm used to this. I just did a sound check. I got my little iPod thing, plugged that in. Anyway, they did come to me and they said, we're really sorry, but we didn't know you were coming. But could you sing during the communion? I said, what a privilege. How lovely. And when the communion came, would you just sing two songs, though? I thought, yeah, it's fine. You know, I'm not precious. Honestly, I'm not. I was seething. No, I wasn't. I just thought, here you've got this mega church, and it's not gone right, has it? It's not gone right. But God knows, you see. So I got up to sing during the communion, and communion turned out to be a time where they all had a good natter while they were queuing up for the stuff. Not the stuff, sorry, the bread and the wine. Take this stuff, said Jesus. No. And it was clearly a time, you know what you did before the service, you're all buzzing. Yeah? Well, that's what happened during communion. Hiya, Bob, you're right. Well, it was not in this country, you weren't called Bob. And as they went on, so I'm singing away, nobody is listening. I'm like stood at the front going, oh, no, and they're all chatting. No problem. And then halfway through, on the last song that I sang, which was called, You Are More Beautiful Than Solomon, You Are More Precious Than His Gold, You Are Higher Than the Angels, I Love You and You Are Beautiful. It was a song of the Father singing over us. This little girl, about 10 years old, came and sat. It was on a stage. She came and sat on the stage and started wiggling her legs like this and doing this again. So I went and sat with her. Oh, well, they're not listening. You are. I'll come and sit with you. I went and sat with her. And we sang, look at the mountains. Look at the trees. Look at the birds of the air. Feel the breeze. You're more beautiful than these. And we both sang together because she could sing the word beautiful, but it was a foreign language. So I taught her, beautiful. You're more beautiful than these. And she was my godsend in the middle of the stuff. Watch out for godsends in the middle of your stuff. Especially when you choose to get rid of it and say, I am not carrying this around with me anymore. And as you get rid of it, he comes in, lay down your burdens, and I will carry you. Amen. I will carry you. Amen. Thank you.
I'd like to just kind of perhaps ask God to seal whatever he's doing or whatever he's been speaking to us about. And like I say, he's speaking different ways. Just let me tell you what he's spoken to me about. I thought I can do that. It's personal to me, but I thought some of you might benefit through something that John said today. And when he was talking about, for me, it was about imperfect and stuff like that. And I was listening to something this week, and it was a pastor being asked to sort of talk about another pastor. But the thing is, he said to this pastor being interviewed, I want you to give me one word to describe this other pastor. And so this man was asked a question. So he's given the pastor's name. And the pastor who asked answer the question just said he's unqualified. And he was doing it in a derogatory way, actually. He was having a go at another pastor. I don't like Christians throwing stones at Christians. But hey, it happens sometimes. But actually, the pastor who heard later on that this other pastor had basically said he was unqualified, when he sat with that, at first he said, I was a bit angry, a bit hurt. But he said he sat with God with it. And actually, God says, yeah, you are. And that's why I've called you to be a pastor. And I thought to myself, thank you, God. Because, you know, I can say the same, unqualified in so many ways, imperfect in all kinds of ways, but dependent on a good, good Father who loves us, who still calls us his own, who still says, yeah, but that I can use you. I can use that broken vessel and do amazing work. And I just think sometimes we feel unqualified. We feel unqualified even to be in church sometimes because we think everyone's got it sussed. But I haven't. If they only knew what I was like, what I do. But God says, look, unqualified, come to me. The disciples, they were unqualified by a long, long way. And look what God did with them as they put themselves into his presence. And that's what we're doing in churches, isn't we? We're putting ourselves into the presence of God, unqualified, imperfect, burden-carrying. And we're saying, God, okay, what can you do for us this morning? And he meets us in that place. And he pours his grace, and he pours his love, and he pours his freedom and his forgiveness in. Let's just receive again, just for a few moments. Let's pray. Lord God, here we are. An unqualified, random, imperfect group of people meeting in your name. And what's amazing is you meet with us. Your presence is here. Thank you for the words that have been spoken today, for the songs that we've sung. And I pray, God, that you've been meeting us and speaking into our lives. And maybe for some of us today, we just feel imperfect, unqualified. But yet, you don't turn away from us. You call us to yourself. And yeah, we have to repent sometimes. Absolutely. We have to say sorry. We have to take sin serious. Absolutely. But Lord, we are dependent on your grace and on your mercy. Lord, would that flood this place again? And Lord, where we're carrying weight, where we're holding anger, where we're holding unforgiveness, may we just come to you and say, Lord, would you help us to be released again from the burdens that hold us back? And would you fill us again with your Spirit? Would you pour into us, broken vessels as we are? Lord, may this even now be a holy moment in your presence. Lord, I am so thankful that you call unqualified people to yourself. I certainly wouldn't be here if you didn't. And I am so thankful that even in our vulnerability, you pour in and you say, I can use you mightily. I've got plans and purposes and beauty and blessings that we can only just imagine. Here we are. Thank you that you're our God. Thank you that you call us sons and daughters. Thank you that you welcome us into your family, your church, your kingdom. Lord, as you pour into us, may our lives pour out to others. You are a good, good Father. We thank you again today. In Jesus' name.